Well, if you want to open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12, and look just a little bit more into our study on joy. Remember, we talked about love first, love, joy, peace, on down the line, but you can't really have joy until you are living in the love of God. That's trusting Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Then you can have joy. Joy and happiness are not the same thing. You're not always happy about everything that's going on, but you always have that joy in your heart. And it's, I don't know, it's kind of like a happiness and a peace that's blended together. It's joy, you know. It's a feeling of security. It's a feeling of everything's all right no matter what, because God has everything under control. And we are His purchased possession. And I don't know about you, but when I work to pay for something, especially as I get older, I want it to last. I want to take care of it. And the greatest work that was ever done was done on Calvary, and we're purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ, and God wants to take care of us. And the devil wants to stop everything that's good, and wants to get in the middle of everything that's good, and wants to try to get you to hand your joy over to him like he's an armed bandit. But joy comes from the Lord, and it's not something that can be taken. It's something you have to give away. You just have to really get caught up in a mess with the world and all the junk and forget about the Lord to lose your joy, and that's not good. But joy is always connected with the love of God, true joy. We had talked about joy last week, but you don't have to turn there, but Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. We can always rejoice in the Lord. So we can always have joy in the worst situations. And the Lord's good. And in Hebrews chapter 12, before we get any further into this, I'm going to ask Brother Scott if he would pray and ask the Lord to bless the Sunday school hour. Yes. Yes. Oh, yes, Lord, help. Help us. Yes. Amen. Again, talking about joy. Joy is always connected to, you can't have joy, true Christian joy, without, you can't have true joy without knowing the love of God. And that's trusting Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. We had talked about the fact that we're bought with a price, and He wants to take care of His purchased possession. We can have joy in knowing that He's already taken care of our eternal business. Amen. We're good. We're going to heaven because of Jesus Christ, and it's because of the blood that was shed on Calvary, because of the love that God had for a lost and dying world, realizing we had no hope and no help without Him. And praise God for that. Now we are here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So, what did He endure for the joy that was set before Him? The cross. He endured the cross. And it brings joy to the Lord for us to show that there's value to what He's done. And the heavens rejoice, the angels rejoice when a sinner gets saved. And it brings God joy when a saved sinner brings Him glory. And He's worthy. He is worthy. So He endured the cross for the joy that was set before Him. I know it's hard for our minds sometimes to understand this, but in our heart we know this is true from the Scripture. If we take up our cross and follow Him, we can have joy. There again, the joy and happiness are two different things. You're not always going to be happy about the situations you're in, but you can always have that joy if you're in the will of God. And to be in the will of God, you're supposed to take up our cross, amen, and follow Him and realize taking up your cross, what all that means dying to self and say, I'm living for You, Lord. I'm considering myself dead. I'm going to pick up that cross, and I'm going to carry that cross, and I'm going to take the reproach, the distresses that come with it, and I'm going to look forward to the joy that I can have by enduring the cross and doing exactly what You've called me to do. You can't have joy out of the will of God. You really can't. And it's His will for us to die to self and live for Him. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And that pleases God for us to just put ourselves down on that altar and say, I'm Yours. I belong to You. It's not about glorying in the flesh. It's not about trying to satisfy this flesh. It's about trying to, as best we can, bring You honor and glory. And when you have that heart and that mindset, you will have joy. Amen. And without that, as a born-again believer, you will not have joy without that mindset. If your joy is gone, it's because your focus is not on glorifying God. Amen. He does something. There's something inside of you that wells up and happens when you know that you've tried to glorify Him and you tried to live for Him and you make decisions based on what would bring Him the honor and glory. There's something inside of you. It's that joy that percolates. I remember them old coffee makers. Remember the old percolating coffee makers? You see that coffee jump up in that glass bubble? People know the coffee's getting ready because they see that coffee brown jumping up in there. And people ought to see you percolating every once in a while for the joy. Amen. We ought to percolate. We ought to be fired up for the Lord. We ought to be percolating once in a while. They ought to see some Jesus jumping around in us. Amen. Why hide the greatest thing that ever happened to you? Amen. The devil would like for us to, but truthfully, it gives me joy to talk about Him. Amen. Especially when the devil says no and the flesh doesn't want to and you get to talking and bragging on the Lord and the Holy Spirit of God shows up and you're like, man, it's good. I was having a rough morning or a rough day and now I got to talk about my Lord and Savior. And, you know, somebody might tell you, no, I don't want to hear it. Somebody else might say, well, you know, I'll listen to it later. I'm not interested right now. Somebody else might say, well, you know, I'll take that to heart. I've been wondering about that stuff. And then the Lord will line you up with somebody who says, yeah, I'm saved. I praise the Lord and I'll just talk about the Lord with you. You know, and that joy just starts. Give you happy feet, won't it, Brother Jerry? Man, oh man.
Amen.
James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So, when it says fall into diverse temptation, that doesn't mean you are given over to the temptation. It's when you're confronted with all these different temptations. Count it joy because that you have an opportunity. God's given you an opportunity to do right and glorify Him. See, this whole prosperity thought process and this whole thing about Christian life is just a cakewalk and everything's going to be sunshine and rainbows and lollipops. That's not true. What the truth is, God will allow you to be tempted. God will allow you to go through some things so you can make the right choice because He is worthy to be chosen to follow. Amen. He's worthy to be brought honor and glory. And that's, the devil says, I can shut them down. And he says, you can't shut my people down. There's something inside of them that wants to do right. There's something inside of them that is holy and clean and pure and good that wants to glorify me. And the devil says, touch their flesh or touch their family just like he did with Job and he'll curse you to your face. And Job, what Job had was an opportunity to grow in the Lord, to glorify the Lord, and to have the joy of the Lord. And he had that stuff. He was going through it. I mean, he was just being pressed out. But he had joy, and he ended up better than it ever began. Job didn't even have the promise of it ending up better. When he started out, he didn't have a King James Bible. Amen. When he'd lost his wealth and his family and his health, he didn't have a King James Bible. He didn't have 1 Corinthians. He didn't have Thessalonians. He didn't have the promise of the Lord coming back and calling him out of a mess. He didn't have any of that. But when he gets to the end, you get to the end of the book of Job, and Job's better off than he was, and God's got glory for it. He's still getting glory for it. Every time we read this book, every time we read or preach or teach out of the book of Job, God's being brought honor and glory because Job was allowed to go through some things, and he dealt with it right. Amen? And we have the complete Bible. We know we're going to heaven. We know the devil doesn't have any power over our soul. We know that one of these days, Lord willing, he's going to call us out of here, or we're going to go be with him for eternity, one way or the other. We know that. Job didn't know a lot, but he knew God. That being said, we don't have to know the end of everything to have joy when we're going through it. The ultimate end, we know. That ought to give us the joy to get through whatever else. Amen. I'm going to heaven. I don't have to worry about burning in hell forever. I don't have to worry about a lake of fire. I don't have to wake up every morning and wonder if I can do good enough. I don't have to live in fear, thinking, you know, I have to fear God and eternal flames because His perfect love casts out that fear. I don't have that fear anymore. But I am free to wake up every morning and decide to love Him and do right by Him. Now, whether I do it or not, that's up to me. God gave me free will. But He gave me that freedom. And that's freedom, amen. That's liberty. We have the liberty to do right. We have the freedom to do right. And if we do, we'll have the joy that He wants us to have. So when you're tempted, I remember an old preacher one time, I can't remember who it was telling him, so-and-so is going through this. And it was a terrible situation. I don't even remember all the details, but I remember a preacher saying, well, praise God. God's got him on the wheel. God's wanting to use him, glorify him. And I was a young Christian, and I took those words to heart, but I really didn't understand them. But I do understand them more and more as life goes on. Amen. God allows us to show the devil that Jesus Christ is worthy, that God is worthy. He allows us. He doesn't make us. We're not robots. He doesn't go, you're saved, you're going to do everything right now. He says, you're saved, you're sealed, I've given you the greatest gift forever. Now show the world you love me. Make a decision to show the world. Make a decision to not go out and do the things the world are doing. Make a decision to not drink their drinks, to smoke their smokes, to tell their jokes. Make a decision not to go the places they go, do the things they do. Make a decision to not do things to glorify the devil. It gives us the opportunity to do right or wrong. Amen. And we all have struggles, and everybody in here sitting here, and you all know, we all know that every single one of us falls short somewhere. So be careful with the gun, right? Because it's always got three barrels pointing back at us. But God gives us the opportunity to do right, to bring Him honor and glory. He doesn't make us do it. If He made us do it, we'd be no more than robots. But He doesn't. He allows us to do it. He gives us the opportunity to get a hold of that joy and hang on to it by doing right. That being said, though, we all struggle. And we're not always firmly gripped in that joy. And we could be, though. It's our fault. It's not God's fault. Amen. And you know, part of the whole thing of bringing Him honor and glory and having this freedom, this liberty, is protecting our individual testimony, protecting the testimony of our families, protecting the testimony of our church, of the Lord's church. Amen. And that's the whole thing. It's not ours. We accept this. We'll do with that. You know, it's up to us what we put up with, what we don't. It's up to God. It's His. Amen. And a lot of times we you know, the messages and stuff that are preached, if it kicks your dog, praise God. Get your dog lined up. You're rubbing the cat the wrong way, turn the cat around, right? But here's the thing. What it is, it's not an opportunity. The devil could use it as an opportunity to get mad at the preacher, get mad at the Lord, get mad at the Word of God, or whatever. And he does that sometimes. And sometimes we let him. But what it really is God's given us an opportunity to get right and bring him honor and glory. God wants us to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and be able to have some rewards to lay back at Jesus' feet. God wants that for you. He wants that for me. It's not just the preacher that wants that for you. It's not just you that wants that for you. God does. And since he does, he will put a whooping on you once in a while. Sometimes it's just a conviction chastening. Amen? And he does that so we'll get in line with him and have the life he wants us to have. Have that joy. I don't know about you, but sometimes in Christian life you can get in a mess. Amen. You can get to the point where even if you are still reading your Bible and praying, you're just doing it out of duty. And I submit to you that I think you ought to do it out of duty if you're not doing it for any other reason, and pray that God give you the heart to do it right for the right reason. But that being said, you've got no joy. You come in and sit in a church, you got no joy because you've been out of God's will, and then God kicks you right in the seat of the britches. You got two choices. Keep going with less and less and less joy and less Jesus, or get right and have the joy back. I learned a long time ago, it's just easier to get right and have the joy back. I mean, I can get mad. I can get mad at anybody. I can get mad at God. I can get mad, upset with the Word of God, but the truth is, it's me. It's not that book. Nothing wrong with that book. That book's doing exactly what it's supposed to do. Yep. It's showing me how to get my joy back. Amen? I know me and Jim remember. Me and Jim talk about him a lot. Remember Jim White? I don't know if y'all remember Jim White. But anyway, Jim White was an amazing preacher. He'd have you crying, laughing, and then he'd have you crying, convicted, right 3 seconds later. But I remember him telling a story, and I might have told y'all about this before, but he was in a hurry, he was in a bad mood, he was going to the airport, I think, and he had to swing by and get some food, and he went to his favorite place to get fry grease, McDonald's, right? And he goes through there, and he's waiting in line, he's running late, and this fast food, and he's up at the window, fast food this, fast food that, anything fast food. I could have cooked it myself, I could have got the cow out and butchered it and ground the hamburger and cut the french fries, and I'd still been done on time. And he's up at the window, and this little girl's handing him the food out the window, and he gave her the what for. And he said he drove off, and his wife said, "Boy, preacher man, that was good." He said, "Oh, quit, woman." He said, "I had to turn that car around and go back to McDonald's. I went inside." He said, "That little girl went running in the back." And he said, no, little lady, I want to talk to you. He said, "I want to apologize to you." He said, "I'm a preacher." And he says, her mouth dropped open, and he goes, "Honestly, at that moment, I was having a hard time believing it as she was." He said, "But I had to apologize to her." And then he said, "The joy birds come back to my heart." He said, "I started having the joy of God again." But that's our nature, the old nature. And we got to watch that stuff. And old Brother White, I wish he's still around. He went home to be with the Lord, but it'd be good to have him in for one meeting, amen? One night. But that's the truth of it. We do. We give the joy away. We make a decision because we are so important to ourselves that we'll make a decision to do something to make us feel better at the time. And it does sometimes make you feel better at the time to vent or to do something wrong. Sin's pleasurable for a season. But then the consequences down the road are losing your walk with Jesus Christ. Not losing your relationship, but losing your fellowship. And the joy is not there without Jesus. Amen. But I like that story he told about that, the whole thing of McDonald's fast food. I agree with him. I agree with him all those sentiments, When you go up to get a hamburger and fries, especially when the hamburger is about the size of a pickle, amen, I'll be able to get that out there pretty quick. Even if they had to cook it fresh. I mean, how long would it take to cook that thing? 25 seconds? Amen? But the thing is, it's the way we deal with it. And it's not always the big problems that we fail at. Sometimes it's the little things. Amen? Oh, the drive-thru at McDonald's. If you could lose your salvation, most Baptists would never make it out of the drive-thru at McDonald's. Amen? They look at the gas pumps and end up in hell. Amen. Oh, it went up 10 cents. What am I going to do? Well, the same Lord that put the gas in your tank when it was 201 will put it in there when it's 321. Amen. Or maybe he'll tell you to drive less. I don't know. But the Lord will take care of it. But if we're not careful, and look, what happens is it's not being focused on the Lord. How far off focus of the Lord do we have to get before the gas pumps give us a bad day? Amen. Or, you know, the grass. I just cut it 4 days ago. Well, it's not the grass. It's you. You know, the grass is just doing what grass does. It's us. We're not walking with the Lord. We're not focused on the Lord. We give our joy away. And then we start getting upset about everything. And look, I understand how the devil works. And I understand how the world works. And I understand the flesh to a certain degree, not as good as God does. But I do understand that it's this little thing and that little thing and this little thing and that little thing. And if finally, the straw that broke the camel's back gets you. And you happen to be in line at McDonald's talking to that poor little girl that's trying to get you a cheeseburger. I understand all that. But the truth is, we're not walking with the Lord the way we should be when this little thing and this little thing and that little thing and this little thing happens. We're allowing the devil to get us off focus. And then eventually, what he's doing is trying to destroy our testimony. He wants your joy and then he wants your testimony. And once your testimony's gone, that's tough. Whether it's an individual or a family or a church, that testimony should be guarded. Amen. Praise the Lord. I mean, God's given us a gift, and that gift is to be able to glorify Him. And we can't do it if we're not walking with Him. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. So being tempted is not a sin. Being tempted is an opportunity to grow and to show the world that He is worthy. Just don't give in to the temptation. 1 Peter chapter 4. First Peter chapter 4, verse 13. This is really connected to that last verse. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers in Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Partakers of Christ's sufferings. And just jump back, hold your hand there for a second, but jump back to Philippians chapter 3 and look what the Bible says about our relationship with the Lord. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. So knowing Christ is connected with suffering. And the reason, a big part of the reason at least, that that is so, is because He has to take each and every one of us to a place, or allow each and every one of us to be taken to a place where we have no help or no hope but Him. And every time He takes us to that place and we turn to Him, we get to know Him a little better. And eventually, God's will is for us to learn, why keep running back to Jesus when you can walk with Him? Amen. Because we have a tendency to walk away and 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 run back. Why keep walking away and running back when we can walk with Him? Then we can have joy all the time. But I'm telling you, I understand the battle is real. I have flesh too. Amen. But the truth is, if we're praying and reading our Bible, He will give us the desire and the strength and the opportunities to walk with Him, to go through some things with Him, to grow toward Him, to be more like Him. A plus B plus C plus D equals glorifying Him. Amen. But we slowly and gradually creep away from the Lord, and we'll make excuses for doing it. Amen. Don't have time today. Can't do that today. I'm just going to throw out a quick prayer because I got this going on. Got eggs boiling in here. Got to get down to the barbershop. Got to do this. I'm just going to quick pray today. And I'm going to give Jesus a little bit here, and I'm going to spend more time talking to the barber than talking to the Lord. Spend more time peeling eggs than talking to the Lord. Amen. We do that. We let these little things happen until the next thing you know, it's like, Lord, where are you? And he said, I'm still over here. Come back. The Lord's not going to go down the wrong road with us. If we're doing it, going on, you know, he's going to say, hey, come back to the road I want you on. Amen. Now, I understand when you get knocked down, he might swing over and pick you up and take you back to his road, but he's not going to walk down that wrong road with you. He wants us to walk with him, not away from him until we have to run to him. And that's what he's doing. We go through suffering until hopefully and prayerfully we realize, because we are sheep. He calls us sheep. What do sheep need? They need a shepherd. Sheep don't understand anything except cold, hot, wet, hungry, and lonely. They do know lonely because they get off by themselves and they're like, meh, you know, they're looking around figuring out where everybody's at, right? They know they're in a bad spot, right? But sheep don't know much. But you know what they do know? They know who feeds them. And they know who protects them. So as sheep, compared to sheep in the Bible, Jesus Christ, the Word of God, feeds you and the Word of God protects you. Why leave the shepherd? Why leave the joy? So that devil got my joy. You know, if he does, he's running around with it because you give it to him. Amen. He can't have the joy of God. He didn't trust Christ. If he's got your joy, it's because you give it to him. He didn't take it. You allowed him to have it. You allowed him to get it from you. We do that if we're not careful. And what did Peter encourage believers to rejoice and be glad? In being partakers of Christ's sufferings. If you're going through some things, Lord, show me how I will come through this better for you. This is all about you. It's not about me. I've already been taken care of for eternity, Lord. Just to show me, walk with me, talk with me, give me peace and comfort. We have a tendency, too, to, Lord, give me the reason. Show me why. He doesn't want to show you why all the time. Sometimes he will, sometimes he won't. But, Lord, give me the strength and the peace to go through this and give me the heart to come through it more like you. And a lot of times you'll find out that that giant problem that really wasn't that big, when you're right in the middle of it, it's getting bigger, right? It looks bigger. But when you get down the road and he'll show you in the rearview mirror and he'll say, now, 3 years down the road or 3 months down the road, now here's the purpose of all that. Sometimes he'll do that. But very seldom does he tell you why everything's happening right when it's happening. You ever notice that? You're just like, I don't know. He's like, oh, hey, that's what this faith thing's all about. Just trust me. And then when you do, and he shows you in the retrospect, he shows you from way out in the future somewhere, you're 3 years down the road or 10 years down the road, and you look back, ah, now I see why that went on. Then you start trusting him more and more and more. And he'll give you a glimpse of why sometimes, just so you'll go, all right, I got it. I got it, Lord. Now I don't have to worry anymore. That's what he's doing. He wants us to grow in Christ. Look at 3 John. Take a right there, a little ways. Verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. So I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. And we love that verse for us. That's great. When our little chips off the old block actually do something the right way, amen? Yeah. Praise God, they're doing the right. And there's no greater joy than know your kids are in God's will. But if you think about what he's saying here, that's him having joy also in us being in his will. This is the Word of God speaking. And this is how we know that God's heart is this way. He takes great joy in us walking in truth. You know, it is so much bigger than we are, and it's so hard for us to understand that if... I'm going to use some practical, maybe might seem silly, but they're useful. If you're at the gas station and somebody's buying lottery tickets and they're like, hey, you know, you got to get you a lottery ticket just up to $65 bazillion. And, you know, this guy, somebody's going to win. Nobody's won in 3 weeks or 12 weeks. I don't know how that stuff works, all that junk. But anyway, but, you know, and you go, nah, I'll just trust the Lord. That brings him joy. So, man, I'm going to take this dollar. And I'm going to turn this dollar, I'm going to, Lord, press this out. Boy, turn this thing into, oh, I had not seen, ear not heard. You know, get Pentecostal there in line, amen. Oh, enter into the heart of man. I'm going to take this George Washington and I'm going to have you turn this thing into $1 gazillion. And then I'm going to feed the poor. And the Lord's like, no, you wouldn't. He's like, wouldn't it be greater just to take that dollar, send it to a missionary, get on your knees and just tell me thank you for taking care of you. And tell the people down at 7-Eleven or Quick Trip or wherever, say, you know what, I'm not interested because I don't gamble with the Lord's money. He's been good to me. You don't have to beat anybody up and say, well, you're all a bunch of heathens for buying lottery tickets. Amen. Truth is, Lord's been good to me. If I go messing with his money like that, he might zap me. I don't want to do that. I don't want to upset the Lord. Lord takes joy in us. He takes joy in us doing the right thing. You're not going to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, for the money you put in a plate or for being in a church pew every week. You're going to hear it for those little things. Amen? Because the little things are what keep us with him. When we do right, the little things. When you start doing wrong with the little things, gradually we get further and further and further away from him. Not only do you not have any joy, he's not taking any joy in you as a child of God. Amen? I have no greater joy than hearing my children walk in truth. They're telling the dirty jokes around the cooler at work or whatever. And, instead of giggling, and I'll tell one that's not quite so bad. We're going to bring them back to the Lord. Amen? No, how about just saying, I'm not going to listen to that junk. Why don't you go to the cooler with us anymore? I honestly, I'm not into those jokes and stuff. You know, the Lord's been good to me, and I have enough trouble. I don't need to add to it by listening to that kind of filth. Don't take me wrong. I'm no better than you are, but I just don't want to hear that stuff. You know. When you're flipping through your radio, I don't know if y'all do that anymore. And you young guys don't even know what that stuff is. Everything goes straight from the devil device straight into their ear, I think. But when you're flipping through your radio and you hear something, boy, I used to listen to that when I was lost back in. Man, I was. And honestly, a lot of stuff you used to do, you don't even know what the words were. And if you listen to them, you'd be shocked that you listened to it. Amen? So just because the beat's familiar and all that stuff, it's the little things. You say, well, the preacher don't want me to have any fun. No, I want you to bring God joy. You know, just because the Beach Boys sang it doesn't mean it was clean. Amen? Whatever group or whatever it is, Lord, I want to listen to something that brings you honor and glory. That's ridiculous. That's just too much. That's legalistic. No, it's not. I'm not telling you you can't do that. You can do anything you want. Still go to heaven as long as you've trusted Christ. I'm telling you how to have joy. And I'm telling you what brings him joy. It's the little things. Well, I've never killed anybody. Wanted to a couple times, but I never did it. God ought to be happy with me. Amen? Pretty much quit cussing until Obama got elected. Until I heard Trump's second speech, you know, whatever it is. Pretty much got everything under control until I looked at politics. You know, that's great. But it's the little things. How are you doing on the little things? How are we doing on the little things? That is what keeps us with the Lord. This world doesn't understand this anymore. The lost folks don't understand it, but I'm telling you, saved folks don't understand it anymore. I just want to feel good. No, just be good and you'll feel good. Amen? Are my decisions matching up with the Word of God? And look, I'm not kicking anybody that has a struggle because we all have sin and we all have a sin that easily besets us. We have something we struggle with. But I'm just saying, watch the little things and the big things will disappear. Amen? And when the big problems come, the big storm comes, you're already walking with the Lord. You're not looking around for somebody to run back to. He's got you in His hand. He'll just swoop you up and carry you through it. You know? Well, I am a social drinker. Well, that's socially unacceptable to Christian, for a Christian. Amen? It is. It's wrong. Well, I don't really get drunk. And it says don't be as a drunkard. No, it says be right-minded. It says be sober-minded. It says to abstain from the very appearance of evil. Amen? Right? I know a lot of saved folks that say they're saved folks that say they're social drinkers. Or a little bit from my infirmity or whatever. No. No. Stay away from it. So I'm not sure it's wrong. Well, then don't fool with it. If you're not sure, err on the side of God. But my flesh, you don't understand my flesh. My flesh has to have what it wants. And if I can make an excuse to give my flesh what it wants, I'm going to do it. How about making an excuse to do right? Amen. If you're saved, if you're really saved, why would you want to gamble with your testimony? Why would you want to give your joy away? Why would you not want to have God rejoicing in your life? Why would you not? So I'm not sure that, you know, that doesn't mean that. If you're in doubt, go God's way on it. So, well, then I might never get my glass of wine. So what? So what? I might miss out on a good time in the flesh. So what? You're going to have joy. Amen? Well, we just want to feel good. You mean here or here? Because it's possible to feel good here and be miserable here. And that's where most people live in 2021. They do what makes them feel good instead of what makes them good. It's never right to do wrong, but it's always right to do right. Amen. When you're in doubt, always make up your mind you're always going to fall down on God's side. Say, look, if I have a doubt about it, it's probably wrong. There's a good chance it's the Holy Spirit saying, don't do that. You know. Maybe there's something that you would normally do that He doesn't want you to do around somebody. You know, if I'm not saying you're a glutton, but if you went home and every day let's say you went downstairs here every day after church and you had a big old slice of chocolate cake. Amen. And somebody else is, you know, they love that stuff, and they've got severe diabetes. They're on their last leg. They can't control their blood sugar. Why sit there and eat it in front of them? I mean, there's stuff like that, too. Think about other people. Think about the Lord. Put the Lord first. Think about other people. I'm not saying it's wrong to have chocolate cake. Oh, we get on gluttony. There might be an empty church here in just a minute. But the whole thing is we are so caught up in taking care of this flesh, right? We're destroying it, taking care of it. I just want to satisfy the flesh. Well, good luck. But walking with the Lord is an every step thing. If you're walking with Him every step, none of your steps are going to slip. Amen? But a gradual steps away from Him is what gets us in trouble, and that's what takes our joy. And sometimes if we're not careful, we'll wake up and go, I don't know where my joy went. Well, you lost it at Quick Trip. You lost it at the ball game. You lost it on your radio. You lost it here, there. You just slowly gave it away. And that's what we'll do if we're not careful. We'll be so worried about, oh, well, or so caught up in thankful for and braggadocious and proud about what we don't do that we don't do what we should do. And it's all about Him. You don't even need a bracelet. What would Jesus do? You got a Bible. Amen. But a good rule of thumb for us is if it's possibly wrong, it probably is. And if it's possibly wrong, why take a chance? And it's good for your flesh to tell it no anyway, right? I like Brother Earl. No, just tell yourself no. Amen. I like him now. He talks to himself with his hand, but he's all right. He's a Baptist. But joy comes from walking with the Lord. And in Nehemiah 8, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And when you give your joy away, you are giving your strength away. Because what brings you joy? The security of walking with the Lord. Amen. And that also is strength. Well, we'll wrap it up there today, and we'll, Lord willing, we'll look at peace next week, Lord willing. And praise the Lord.